and it's time for WESU's Fall Community Record Fair. The event is free and open to the public, and will feature dozens of vendors selling new and used music of all formats and genres. Save the date, October 18th, 11 to 4 p.m. The fair is held in Beckham Hall on the Wesleyan University campus. That's 55 Willis Avenue, Middletown, Connecticut. Also featuring the great WESU DJs you love spinning music live. Come to Beckham Hall, October 18th, 11 to 4. Learn more at WESUFM.org.
WESU is supported in part by Central City Productions, presenting their inaugural event, the Paul Winter Consort, on Friday, October 23rd, at the Sanctuary at 190 Court Street in downtown Middletown. The Paul Winter Consort mixes elements of jazz, classical, and world music, along with the sounds of animals and nature, to create what they call earth music. Ticket sales and information at 860-685-3355, centralcityproductionsct.com.
WESU Middletown.
Hi, I'm Sima Shapiro, the host of the new contemporary lifestyle radio show for women over 40, featuring everything about your health, wealth, children, happiness, and anything else of interest to you, the listener. Please stay tuned.
Hi, I'm Sima Shapiro. I'm so glad you could join us. Today we'll be talking with two women about their life choices, their perspectives, and their research regarding living a child-free life. Laura Carroll is a seasoned communications consultant and writes nonfiction. Her nonfiction book on child-free couples, families of two, received international acclaim and paved the way for her to become a leading voice on the child-free choice. She ran the popular blog La Vie Child Free, which is now a child-free writings library on her website and is currently conducting a longitudinal study on child-free women. She is the author of Baby Matrix, Why Freeing Our Minds from Outmoded Thinking About Parenthood and Reproduction Will Create a Better World, and has been featured on a variety of radio and television shows, including The Early Show and Good Morning America. She is a member of the original group of child-free authors and bloggers who started International Child-Free Day in selecting the Child-Free Man and Woman of the Year. Kay Walters is the author of Kid Free and Loving It, Whether by Choice, Chance, or Circumstance, a complete guide to living as a non-parent. Kay launched an unprecedented survey of non-parents, which has gone viral worldwide and now has nearly 5,000 responses from 75 countries. Walters is on the Committee for International Child-Free Day and the Committee to Elect Child-Free Man and Woman of the Year. A non-parent herself, Kay has enjoyed a career in the magazine industry for more than 25 years. She has traveled and worked in marketing for such national publications as Islands Magazine, but recently stepped down to pursue the Kid Free Project. She lives on the beach in Santa Barbara with her soulmate, Brian, where they like to play beach volleyball, kayak, SUP. What is SUP?
Stand-up paddleboard.
I knew that. Snorkel, ski, scuba dive, hike, bike, travel, and garden. Welcome, Laura and Kay.
Thank you for having us.
So, first off, I must say that in preparing for the segment, I was reprimanded more than a few times about calling women childless rather than the more appropriate term of child-free. So, in my research, I came up with childless, child-free, childless by choice, child-free by choice. So, am I to finally understand that child-free describes people who do not have children by choice, and childless are those who do not have children but want them? Do either of you have any thoughts about this? And also, is the misnomer that important to people who do not have children?
Well, first of all, that is correct, Simon. Childless sounds like you are missing something, and people who have chosen not to have children don't feel they are lacking them. The term child-free is not meant to offend mothers, but it is just a more accurate way of defining a person who has chosen not to be a parent.
I would agree with all of that. I think childless was used more commonly in times past and generations past to account for those who didn't have them, that wanted them and didn't want them. And over time, child-free has come to be a newer word that puts the two into different groups.
So, Laura, tell me just a little bit about your life journey. When did you first know you were going to choose to be child-free, and what were your reasons then?
No, I was really one of those. I knew when I was pretty young, you know, when I thought about what I wanted to be when I grew up, being a mom never really entered into my vision or into my fantasies. And when I became a teenager to earn extra money, I babysat, and I learned early there that I could do babysitting okay, but I didn't really enjoy the process of watching over kids and observing the raising of the kids' process. So for me, it was something that just seemed that it was more of a realization that I knew earlier in life.
Okay.
I was not what you call an early articulator, like it sounds like Laura is. I did not know at a young age I didn't want children. I did not truly decide until I was in a relationship and in my mid-30s. I always assumed I would have them one day since everyone else does, and I was never aware there is a choice. It wasn't until Brian and I sat down and talked about whether we really want them and why we would or wouldn't want them when we discovered we didn't really want kids after all. The negatives outweighed the positives for us. My career and my relationship are very important to me, but being a mother just isn't.
And have you ever regretted or suffered negative consequences for your decision?
No, I haven't regretted it yet, and I am 53. Brian and I are very pleased with our decision and have suffered very little negative consequences for it so far. The only thing I'm sad about is that I won't be able to leave a legacy of important photos, keepsakes, and memories behind for my offspring. You know, I guess my nieces and nephews will have to deal with all that.
And Laura?
I would say I don't have any regrets either, and I'm 55 and my husband's 65, and really haven't suffered any negative consequences, although there were a bit of challenges at the time when many of my friends started having babies, and they became less available, and, you know, I didn't see them as much. But thankfully, we just have great friendships, and we made things work over time. But just the change in our lives early on when the children were very young, it required an adjustment in some friendships that, you know, took some effort, and but it was really worth it. So they're still my friends today, and in fact, two of them are my godkids. So.
And I find that every life choice, whether it be marriage, divorce, a career, moving, and in this case, choosing to have a child or not, always alienates someone, always changes something about your external circumstances, your friends. So I'm wondering, for both of you, have you had any negative consequences by family members or friends? What were their reactions to your choice? Laura?
I would say that the friends I have that know me the most and know me well really weren't surprised, and neither were my parents, really. My parents, they just raised my brother and I to, we could grow up and create the lives that we wanted, and so my brother, he doesn't have children either, so, and both parents of mine are really just fine with it. I know my mother might have pangs that she would love to have been a grandmother, but she knows that my life and what's most important to me is more important to her than that.
Okay.
Well, I have been fortunate that my family has accepted it, my mother and father, although I think my brother and his wife wish I had kids for their kids to grow up with and play with.
Yeah.
They often said that, you know, they talked about it quite often when they were having children, that they were saving all these clothes for when I had children, and I didn't tell them at that time I wasn't having children. I didn't want to disappoint them, but... Yeah, I think they would have liked to had somebody, because we live in the same town, cousins for their kids to grow up and play with. But my parents didn't have a problem with it. They understood it. At least they had the grandkids already by the other two siblings.
Yeah,
in my research, however, I have found that a lot of people are pressured by their family if their religion or their culture is pronatalistic and believes that you should procreate. Then there are people, and people in the military are pressured to have children. So there is a lot of that going on, and I'm very fortunate that I didn't experience that in my own family.
So before I move on to talk about the lesser-known benefits, I'm wondering, do either or both of you stay with other couples who are child-free or childless? Do you find that you gravitate to people for those reasons?
I would say no. I have friends, a wide variety of friends. Some have children, some that are almost grown, some they're younger. Many of my friends don't have their own children but married someone who maybe already had a child. And I have friends that never had any children. It's really across the board. I think it starts just with the person and my connection to that person and their lives. You know, I have a strong friendship with them. I'm always going to be curious about their lives and what's important to them. And sometimes it includes parenthood, and sometimes it really doesn't.
And that's the same for me. I have an eclectic mix of friends. Some have never been married. Some have never had children. Most of them have had children, but they're grown and out of the home. So they come and visit, but they're adults now. So that's different than having young children. I think if they had young children, it would take from the time of our friendship, you know. But I think it would be great because I'm not a child hater. I like kids, so I wouldn't mind if my friends had kids that I could enjoy and give them back at the end of the day.
I'm enjoying watching and the kids, God kids, and my friends' kids grow up and go into adolescence and play an auntie role or a godmother role, and I think the parents really appreciate that.
So I can share with both of you that I have four children, and the one thing that we have in common is that I would love to give them away at the end of the day. There's a difference, though. You get to and I can't.
We'll take them.
Anyway, last question. What are the lesser-known benefits to not having children? Actually, let me put it this way. Laura, what are the lesser-known benefits to not having children, and what are some of the benefits?
Well, there's so much out there that people think you have more time and you have more money when you don't have children. And in my own research, while that can be true for some child-free and child-free couples, it's not necessarily true. So there are people that choose not to have children are across the socioeconomic stratosphere from, you know, I've interviewed women who are nannies, you know, making minimum wage to couples that are both lawyers at, you know, big firms in New York. So the idea that we have more money is really a myth. Now, time, even there, too. People decide how to structure their time in their lives. And I know plenty of child-free people who are very busy and don't have a lot of time. So, like the cover of the Time magazine a couple of years ago with two people laying on the beach like they had all this disposable cash and all this flexible time, it really, I think I'd rather speak to what's a myth here. And I think that cover perpetuated a myth.
And Kay?
Well, you asked what the benefits are, and it's not just time and money, like Laura said, although it does cost an average of over $250,000 a year per child in the U.S. to raise them to 18, not including college. So if you had two kids, that would be $500,000. So you can probably retire a little earlier or just live a little more comfortably if you don't have a family with two children.
If you manage your finances well.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. So,
but some of the other ones are, you know, just less stress and responsibility. It's a lot of stress to raise a kid these days.
That's
more
true.
Flexible career choices and where you're going to live, residence choices. You have to, if you have children, you'd have to think about the neighborhood and the school and, you know, the town and the safety and more peace and quiet at home, a cleaner home, no arguing over how to raise the kids, no passing on of genetic disorders, the ability to travel, do hobbies, and or just live life spontaneously. Get up and go when you want.
I was just going to say that I think it really varies to each person on what's important to them. You know,
sure.
A lot of people, the ability to travel is really important to them. The ability to put their marriage first all the time is really, really important to them. So, you know, the benefits a lot of times also include people who are, they can take risks in business that they wouldn't maybe otherwise do if they, you know, needed to keep that nut really consistent and stable when you're raising children. So, you know, again, it's what really people, what's most important to them and how they can arrange their priorities and how kids fit into that or don't.
We've been talking today with two child-free women experts about whether or not having children is a choice or circumstance and what some of the many factors are when making this fundamental decision. We're speaking with Laura Carroll and Kay Walters, and Laura will be leaving us. Laura is the author of the book Families of Two, which received international acclaim. She ran the popular blog La Vie Child Free. She's the author of The Baby Matrix, and you can find her on a variety of radio and television shows. Her website is lauracarroll.com, and I thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Take care. So we're back here with Kay Walters. A couple more questions I wanted to get to, but I also wanted to reference your wonderful survey. Why don't we just do a little bit of talking about how did you set out to do this? It's an unprecedented survey of non-parents. It's gone viral worldwide. Mm-hmm. It now has nearly 5,000 responses from 75 countries. Mm-hmm. And tell me a little bit about how long ago did you create this? For what reason? How did you get the word out? And now what are you finding as a result of this survey?
I launched the survey in 2007 when I decided to step down from my career in publishing and start the Kid Free Project, because to me it was a big decision not to have children, and I wanted to completely explore why people don't have children and the consequences they face for that. And I came up with 22 questions and was going to just interview 200 people, and then people started, it was a link, and people started sending the link all over the United States and the world, and then with my website and Facebook and Twitter, as you know, I have actually 76 countries now. We just got Trinidad yesterday.
Wow.
And it's primarily women, 70%. I guess women like to take surveys better, or it's more of an important subject to women. 20% are men, but still important to men as well. But it's been an incredible response, and I've learned so much that I never realized. There's so many reasons not to have children. I had several, but there are hundreds of reasons people don't have children that I never even thought about.
Tell me just a little synopsis of what your findings are.
First of all, what I liked was that I found out that these myths are not true about the child-free, as in we are child haters. Actually, only 6% rated kids a 1 on a scale of 1 to 10. Some of them even love children, but they just don't want to have their own. But 94% of all non-parents do not hate children. So we are not child haters, which is good. Another myth that I do not like at all is that we are selfish or shallow. Most child-free people have thought long and hard about their reasons not to have kids, and many people give back to society in different ways through volunteering and through philanthropy because they have the extra time to do so. We are not nurturing people. A lot of animal lovers and rescuers in our group. The other one is we do not regret it in older age. I was glad to find that out since I launched this at a younger age. I still have not met a child-free person over 50 who has regretted not having kids. I'm sure they're out there, but I have not. If you chose not to have kids and you did not have kids, you typically do not regret it later. Sometimes you become more relieved as the years go on, as I have. We also do not feel that we should have kids in order for them to care for us in older age. We find that to be a selfish reason to have children. But that's a fear that people have, is that we will have nobody to care for us in older age. So we do have to cultivate friendships and stay close to our nieces and nephews because we will not have children to take care of us in older age. Although there is no guarantee that your own children are going to take care of you in older age.
And what was the saddest aspect of this that may have been conveyed to you? I mean, other than the fact that they don't have kids or they don't have a legacy.
I think just the pressure and the parent and grandparents being disappointed, the feeling like you're a pariah, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
Because you are definitely treated like you're almost less of an important person sometimes, like you don't have as much purpose as your sibling that has children.
Sure.
And that they take priority and their family's more important. And then also when people's friends go off and have kids and they kind of lose touch with you because they can't relate to you as well anymore. As I said, this didn't happen to me as much, but I've seen it happen to many people, and a lot of my survey respondents have said this, that it's just hard after they have a completely different set of desires and responsibilities than you do now, and you can't just get away and go to a wine tasting with them. So it's mainly societal problems with the family and the friends and the pressure and feeling like you're different and you're not understood. That would be the saddest aspect.
We live in a complicated time, and I think that the 21st century is bringing a huge shift in family demographics. I think that the inception of civil unions, you know, the ability for single women to have children, and then the choice to not have children is just one aspect. I think that historically, not having children brought enormous shame, and I don't think that it has the same merit or value in our society. But I wondered if you have somewhat of a historical perspective on this, or can address about going into the 21st century and the complexity that this brings.
Well, the number of people, women over 44, who do not have children has doubled since the 1970s.
That's enormous.
Yes. In 1979, 1 in 10 women over 44 did not have kids, and that doubled to 1 in 5 in 2000. And since then, it's kind of hovered between 19% to 21% of all women over 44 not having children. Now, some of that is because they are waiting longer than we used to, and so when you wait longer, your fertility goes down, and also you have less time to have children. So women are having fewer children, and they're having them later in life. And then some of them are not having them at all.
And do you think, for example, the later in life aspect of this, meaning that they choose to delay marriage or partnership or making this choice until they become of an age where fertility is in question, and then they may not choose to adopt or foster a surrogacy, I would gather that that has some profound impact on these statistics, correct?
Oh, yes. And that's kind of where the choice comes in still. My kid-free and loving it book is different than other child-free books in that it discusses all realms of being child-free. Some people are child-free by circumstance, and they actually wanted them, but they couldn't find, let's say, a partner in time, or they waited too long and were no longer fertile, or maybe they were too old by then and they didn't think they should have children. So it's a small percentage that actually decide when they're a child, I don't want to have kids when I grow up. And that's what most child-free books are written for. My book was more for people that might find themselves kid-free by circumstance, but then are relieved that they are. It shows all the positives that, and the reasons you should be happy that you couldn't have kids even if you wanted them. If you still are regretting it and depressed that you didn't have children, then you are childless. But if you embrace all the positives of the fact that you are child-free and don't have that burden and that responsibility, then you are kid-free. It's very complex.
It is a complex topic, isn't it? And it's it's a tender topic, you know?
And I found that out as I went on. It took me 5 years to write my book, and it got bigger and bigger, and I finally had to cut it back at the end. My editor wanted it cut down, but there are so many different aspects to talk about. It's amazing. I was very surprised in articles and statistics about it.
So do you see any societal trends regarding child-free living? I mean, where would you imagine we'd be as a society 10 or 20 years from now? Do you have any stats for that?
I don't, other than people are talking about starting child-free communities. And, of course, there are older living communities where children are not allowed. But a lot of child-free people in our groups have talked about starting communities where they all come together and live with no children allowed at any age. They wouldn't have to be 55 plus, you know. But and also there are airlines that are talking about child-free sections, and now restaurants that are saying they are going to be child-free. And my next book is going to be on kid-free travel, and there are quite a few hotels around the world now that are age-restricting so that you don't have to listen to screaming children while you're at the pool.
That's interesting.
It's a big trend worldwide. It's not just in the U.S. In the developed countries, it's very big. In the U.K., Australia, Germany, fewer and fewer educated people are having children. They're finding there's other purposes in life besides just raising children. Not that raising children is not an excellent purpose to have.
Do you have any stats on those countries? Are there any countries which we know countries like Russia and China predominantly request that the couples have no more than one, maybe two children just for population reasons alone? But I'm wondering, do you have any stats on international?
Yes, I do. I have a chart in my book on page 18. The world average fertility rate is 2.47 children per woman. That's per female. Now, America's right in there, the U.S., is about 2.06. And so we're about at a break even. We're not populating. But it's amazing. Japan and Poland are very low. Singapore's the lowest at 0.78 children born per female. That's less than one child per female. So they are actually declining in population. But some of these countries are very worried. The governments are. Because they want to produce more taxpayers. So they're trying to give incentives to increase the population and make people want to have more children.
Well, I think it extends beyond taxpaying. It goes to laborers or, you know, just to run your society. You do have to have a steady increase in population in a lot of places in the world still.
Yes. The only problem with giving financial incentives is that people might be doing it for the wrong reasons, and that people maybe that can't afford to have them will have them so that they can get the check from the government. You see what I'm saying?
It's yes, of course.
Not a good reason to have more children to so that they can be taken care of by the government. Yeah. So Italy has done that, and Japan and Germany, they're all trying to find ways to up their population.
So I can understand why countries like China and Russia, for example, impose this one-child limit. But in a country such as ours, I'm still wondering why there are negative ramifications for people who choose not to have children. It just seems as if, although you're telling me that the numbers are increasing in the number of people who choose not to have children, there's still such a stigma. Do you have any thoughts about that?
I think the stigma is decreasing. I really do. Maybe it's because I live in California, but
yes,
I think that there are still pockets of the country where there's a lot of stigma, and it's more traditional, and some cultures and religions that look down upon not procreating. But I think that we're becoming a more open-minded society, and we are more open to it. I'm getting better and better just over the last 15 years, better reactions when I tell people that we chose not to have children. People aren't shocked, you know,
yes,
like they used to be. But I think it is changing and improving in the developed countries.
Before I ask you for your final thoughts, I did want to address one issue of shame. Mm-hmm. This has such an impact on women with regard to themselves, regard for their own bodies, regard for how they're perceived. Do you have any thoughts about women's sense of shame if they choose not or cannot have children?
Mm-hmm. Well, there is the myth that women are not real women unless they've given birth to a child, and that's a very hurtful belief to us.
Yes.
I mean, I think I'm very feminine, and so I don't agree with that, but it is very hurtful, and it's still underlying in society, and also with men, that they're more macho, the more children they bear.
Sure.
Not really bear, but you know what I mean. I just think that we've got to realize that there are more choices. Not all women are cut out to have children, and we have to respect that, and we should understand that a lot of them are school teachers. A lot of my people that took my kid-free survey that are non-parents are school teachers who love children, but they don't want to come home to their own at the end of the day.
Sure.
You know, so there are a lot of people that work in nurseries and people that work around children. It was amazing, but they don't want to have their own that they're responsible for,
sure,
that they come home to. So it's not that we're not nurturing, although there are, like I said, about 10% of women, 6 to 10%, do not really like children and do not feel comfortable around them and don't want their own. And so it's good that they're not having them. They should not have them if they do not like children.
Sure.
It's better to, what I like to say and what was quoted over and over in my survey by people is, it is better to regret not having children than to regret having children.
I think we'll leave it at that. Those are wonderful final thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
We've been talking today with two child-free women experts about whether or not having children is a choice or circumstance and what some of the many factors are when making this fundamental decision. We were speaking with Laura Carroll. She can be found on our website, Laura Carroll, LauraCarroll.com. And now we've been speaking with Kay Walters and having a great time. I enjoyed this very much.
And my website is kidsfreeandlovingit.com.
You took the words right out of my mouth.
Yeah, okay.
So thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, thank you for having me, Sima.
Thank you. Thank you for joining us, a listener. I'm Sima Shapiro, your host of For Women Over 40. You're listening to WESU Middletown 88.1 FM on your dial. And until next time, I hope you take care.